You're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Fatal 4-Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker Ken Gay West, and the Swami Christian Sub Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister.
Thank you so much for being here. It's great of you to join us. I am your host, Resident Heel, Minister of Sinister. And I'm sitting here with Rancho Punk Rocker. Give it up for Rancho.
Also joining us today is Rancho Punk Rocker
in the Hizzle. Here and man, we've got a great show tonight. We've got a lot to talk about. We had Rancho Punk Rocker was at the show last night. I mean, it's gonna get wild. We have predictions. We had dick jokes on SmackDown. I mean, we've got a CM Punk segment because it's gonna be a wild week. CM Punk could show up, and of course, we've got Summer Scam predictions. So, guys, welcome, and thank you so much for being here. Yeah, give it up for the guys.
We're back. And there's still no Kanye album, just in case anybody was wondering. But I don't
know.
There's still no Kanye. We're still waiting on that.
Dude. Maybe he's waiting for CM Punk to debut. Some people are saying that he's waiting for Drake to put out his album, but I think Kanye is probably waiting for CM Punk.
Are they going to beef on each other? Is that what it is? They're going to beef on each other? He's waiting till Drake puts out his album so he can beef on Drake?
Yeah. Everybody's beefing on Kanye. Kanye's a mark for himself. I'm going to use wrestling terminology to describe Kanye. Kanye West is a mark for himself who's always trying to get himself over on the mic, but he's worked himself into a shoot time and time again, and now the crowd is starting to turn on him, and he's a has-been vanilla midget B-plus player. There you go.
Oh, my God. Really?
I love it when people, I started using wrestling terms too in my everyday life. And, you know, it got to the point where every day the other day we were driving down the road and I saw that new MOD pizza that they're starting to pop up in Houston and San Antonio.
Yeah.
And, I was like, man, that's pretty cool, man. I'm a total mark for MOD pizza. And, my girlfriend's like, what? I said, never mind. Just don't worry about it. But catch some. What's that?
They're everywhere. Those MODs. Mod pizza. I call it mod pizza.
Mod pizzas. Oh, they look great. They're great. But yeah, I'm not trying to advertise them because they're not paying us anything. But
I'm just trying to say
real quick. Thanks Gino Garza from Death Row Romeo's for making our little ad tonight. The computer is, on the fritz at the moment, and thank you to him for reaching out to you guys.
He was a Monday Night
Raw last night as well. Maybe we'll get a call in from him if he's listening to, give us a rundown of what happened. He went to the Jeff Hardy meet and greet last night, so maybe we'll hear from them about that.
This road to SummerSlam fucking sucks.
Yeah? Tell us why it sucks.
This has been... Bro, this whole build-up for this fucking pay-per-view has been fucking horrendous. This is horrible. Especially what happened last night. And we have a fucking witness right here on the show tonight in Albert to testify how this fucking build-up for this pay-per-view has been atrocious.
Yeah. Is WWE
you know
still
what?
Charging pay-per-view? Can you still get this shit on pay-per-view if you don't have the network or Peacock or whatever it is now?
Yeah, they'll still charge you $60 for fucking cable. I wouldn't fucking
it's
pay
fucking
$20.
Robbery, it's fucking robbery for somebody to pay $60 for one of those shows. That's fucking crazy.
Man, I know,
they probably
right?
don't get it. They probably don't. They probably just offer it on there and just have it on the show. But I don't think there's probably not one person that orders that shit. Like, there's probably like, you know, the networks are probably like, why the fuck is? Well, why are we putting this on? Why is Time Warner Cable? Why is DirecTV? Why are we putting this shit on if nobody's ordering it? You know what I mean? Because everybody can get it cheaper on the network. Unless you're like, you know, I don't know, like somebody's grandpa or something. But you know what? I was there last night. I was late to Monday Night Raw. I was like an hour late. But I did see the build up firsthand. And you know what? I'll tell you this. I for the first time in a long time, I actually sort of enjoyed WWE because I was there live, but mainly because it was like a goddamn, like, it was like going to like an indie or like a local like wrestling show, dude. Like that's what it was to me. Like I there was shit going on in between. There was the dark match, you know what I mean, with Miz and Morrison versus
WWE Live.
The New Day.
Great.
I'm saying it was Raw last night. I was thinking when you were talking about it earlier, you went to WWE Live, but you were actually at Raw.
No, yeah, I was at Raw, and it was
awesome.
It was fun to be there and you know, seeing the shit firsthand and hearing the mat. I love going to wrestling shows anywhere and just hearing the wrestling you know.
I love that
track and
slaps
and
shit.
And,
You hear
the chops and the yelling and all this shit, and that's what it is.
It is real,
and it gets you into it. It gets you a little bit more into it. But then when you take a step out a little bit and look in, the build to SummerSlam isn't really that good. Monday Night Raw. I mean, it was fun to be there. It was fun to experience it. I met some of the guys afterwards, but it was just. You know, I could tell from like a TV standpoint why this shit was fucking not very good.
And you have to think, right? These people pay every week to see the same fucking show each week because nothing's fucking different. They're watching the same matches every fucking week. So why the fuck are you paying tickets to see the same show you saw last week?
It seems like
because you're paying to go see it in person. It's like a road show. Like you go to see those guys wrestle. I've been to like probably 6 or 7 WWE shows, and like they were all cool just because you got to see your favorite wrestlers wrestle. Like I didn't give as much of a shit about the storyline any time that I went to see it live.
You know what? That's one of the ways, Kevier, that I justify it as well. Because it's like, well, you know what? I've never seen this person wrestle before. I've never seen these people wrestle before. And I like the people. I like the wrestlers. So, you know, I go to support them and shit. And by the way, Kevin, tickets are on sale now for Raw coming in, I think, in October at the Toyota Center.
I think
they have some $75 seats in the club.
I'm pretty sure AEW is in town, if not this weekend, the next week or something like that. They're in town this week.
Again? Weren't they just in town last Wednesday?
Oh, then that's what it was, yeah. Maybe they already came. I was thinking they were this week.
Yeah, and we're going to get to all the shit about SummerSlam and AEW a little bit more on the show. But guys, let's get started with the birthdays, and we don't have that many birthdays. And you know what? Quite frankly, I don't want to spend too much time on the birthdays because we have a lot of shit to talk about. So, but let's give it up for the birthdays. We have, what is it today? The 17th, and I should have these queued, which I do. I do. Here they are. So we have Paige. Paige is happy birthday today. To Paige.
Happy birthday.
I don't know what happened to her. She was such a...
She had to retire. She had to retire.
A whole movie
about
Yeah, you know, it's shame on me for not watching the movie.
It sucks.
You dodged a bullet, bro. It's one of the worst WWE movies I've ever
seen. It fucking blows. Who gives a fuck about her life? We already saw a documentary about her life. Why did we get it again?
We saw it play out. I mean, we actually saw it live as it played out, right? So it's part imitating life.
It is a story that Paige had to stop wrestling. Paige was a good wrestler. And towards the end of her career, she might have, like, not as been as good as she was, but, I mean, she was super-duper young when she was forced to retire. So, yeah, happy birthday. It sucks that you can't wrestle anymore.
You guys remember Tom Pritchard?
No, Tom Pritchard.
Isn't that Bruce's brother, Dr. Tom,
that trained all the boys down at OVW?
That guy. Happy birthday to him tomorrow.
Is he related to Bruce Pritchard, or...
Yeah, he's Bruce's brother.
Yeah, brothers.
It's another clown. It's a clown.
Brother love.
I knew it.
I love you.
Lillian Garcia the next day, and you know, Lillian, she was good at what she did, man. I remember her mainly for singing the national anthem and shit like that.
With Lillian, dude? The Rock and Lillian, like, they had some, like, awkward moments, didn't they, back in the day?
Man, they really did.
I heard she was a diva backstage, you know?
Yeah, and who'd you hear that
from? Probably, like, can you imagine, though, like, being on the road with, like, the hardcore dudes back in the day, like, having to fight that kind of culture, and then, like, yeah, I mean, I could see it being a diva, being, like, y'all better... off or whatever. She's always carried herself.
Isn't that the name of her podcast? Something about Diva?
I don't know.
She has a podcast. It's something about
Diva.
She
records albums. I know I've listened to her music before too, and it wasn't horrible. She's a good singer.
Velveteen Dream also tomorrow. On the
19th.
Yeah, boo, I guess. I don't know his story.
Velveteen Pedro.
I don't know. Is that really
The pedo dream.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
My God. Wow.
Let's not talk about him, or else we'll get in trouble with controversy. Let's just ignore him. Let's just ignore he ever existed.
Tory for August 20th, and I reckon they're talking about that one Tory, the one that used to hang out with Flair.
No, there's also Tory like Victoria.
Well, this one is 1964. Byron Saxton, also August 20th.
He should be fired.
Byron Saxton's great.
Yeah, he's the only good one they got.
He should let him be a wrestler again. He was a cool wrestler on NXT.
He was awful.
I love Byron. Byron said he's great comedic relief on the
Some guy named Walter, I keep hearing about him. I think
Walter.
He's injured right now.
Bro, he'll slap the shit out of you on his birthday, dude.
Yeah,
they buried
him on Raw when he lost to Seth Rollins, so he's pretty much buried. You know?
He's definitely one of those guys they bought and like held so that he couldn't do anything else anywhere else.
Yeah. Wow. Well, happy birthday to Walter. And also on the 20th, that's a lot of birthdays, Aaliyah Mysterio, who I guess will no longer be a teen. Yeah, she'll be 20, I guess. She was born in 2001. So, yeah, that would put her at 20 years old, no longer a teen.
She's just as bad as acting as her brother. She was awful.
You know, that's one of those things where, like, she could probably get good at it. And she could probably get real good at it. And if she wanted to do something like that, you know, I don't see why she, you know, why they would hold her back. I mean, she could be like a new Stephanie for them.
We don't want another Stephanie. No.
You know, they could put her in that type of capacity or some type of shit. Not exactly like Stephanie, but
That's what they're grooming Eva Marie for, Chuck.
Oh, God.
Well,
no.
She's not even good at that. She's not even
Stop
good
it.
At that.
Stop it, Eva Marie. Let's see here. And then these guys, I don't know who they are, Nathan Jones and Trent Steven, or Trent Seven.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Trent Seven.
Nathan.
They're from
Nathan Jones.
UK.
No, Nathan Jones was he had a short run, like I want to say 2005, 2006. Had a feud against The Undertaker, and then his big break was he had one of the starring roles in Mad Max Fury Road. He was one of the the general's sons.
Yeah, well,
the big guy.
Actually, it was 2003 with Undertaker. First, he was Undertaker's student, you know. He was supposed to partner with Undertaker WrestleMania, but that didn't work and then they brought him back with Paul Heyman and Matt Morgan, and that didn't work, and then he was fired.
All right. Yeah. So who is Eve? Oh, wait a minute. I know who Eve is.
Eve.
Yeah, that's Eve. Yeah, I remember Eve.
Eve Torres, yeah.
Yeah, Eve Torres.
Eve Marie.
Yeah. Oh, man. I love me some Eve Torres. All right. Eve Torres, baby. Yeah. I used to mark out for her, man. I don't care. And she had that butterfly belt and shit. She was all darling. Oh, my God. Eve Torres. Let's see. Moving on. Shit. Roe from the War Raiders.
Fuck them.
Are the War Raiders the Viking Raiders? I mean,
It doesn't matter what you call them. They're still the same character, and they're fucking buried. It doesn't matter.
But God damn it, I love their fucking song. Just makes you want to fucking beat someone's ass.
They were on TV for so while, and then they were off TV and again. They were brought back for like a few weeks, and then they're off TV again.
Those guys were a straight-up Ring of Honor tag team that got bought by WWE and just barely repackaged. But, I mean, they were super hot when they were with Ring of Honor.
I know. It's a fucking
and they were, like, one of the last big things to come out of Ring of Honor. Keith Lee's probably the very last thing to come out of there. But they were right before they brought Keith Lee in, who's the War Raiders. And, I mean, Rose, like, always been down here. I mentioned how, like, he was in the darker side of the ring or Beyond the Mat or whatever. He was in, like, the clip of Beyond the Mat where they show freaking Jake the Snake, like, going into the ring, like, trying to, like, all drunk as shit. It's like Ray Rose, like, a young guy back then trying to talk him down or whatever. So he's been around forever.
Yeah.
He almost died in a motorcycle accident. He made it to WWE.
Wow.
Even if he's buried, like, the guy's, like, a real success story with wrestling. So, yeah, he's a hometown hero.
Good. Good for him. And happy birthday to that guy. One of the greatest themes. I love that shit. Stevie Ray on the 22nd and Paul Ellery on the 22nd. Also on the 22nd, Pac, who is known also in the WWE as Neville, and Apollo Crews, and also
the Usos.
The fucking Usos.
Apollo Crews.
Guys.
There you go.
Apollo Crews is back to being a loser. You know, not even a heel turn could save his fucking career. The IC Title Run was garbage.
I read an article. Damn, I shouldn't even be talking about it because I can't remember who the hell it was. It was saying he wanted to work with Apollo Crews. But I digress. But the Usos, are they the most decorated tag team in the history of WWE, or is it the New Day?
New Day.
Yeah, it's the New Day. His New Day. Fuck the Usos.
Okay. It's the New Day. All right.
Yeah.
But they're on there. How many runs do they have right now with the title?
What?
I don't know.
Nine runs? They're like at 12 or 13. Is it nine?
Holy
I thought it was
shit.
Like 13 or something.
I've lost track, but it's terrible. I don't care if they win tag titles. I just don't care about the Usos.
What's terrible is how they just,
oh, the
you
Usos
know,
aren't that high. The Usos are probably nine, yeah.
Gave him the title right after that whole DWI thing and shit. I mean, like, what the hell?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I don't give a fuck about the title run. It's
but
cute. It's
rough.
The birthday of their twins, their little brothers, their little twins.
You know they're drinking the night shit.
Oh, got it. Yeah, no shit.
I hope the motherfuckers ain't driving, but you know they'd be fucking
damn
drinking the night. Let's be real. I mean, we got some birthday shit. So happy birthday to all of them. The Usos. So let's see here. So we get to the history. I didn't make the history jingle, but that's okay. There's a couple to talk about today, but I'm not too sure I want to talk about them all. But 12 years ago today, WWE presented SummerSlam from Conseco Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. I didn't care for this SummerSlam. This is during the time, well, let me read you the card. Montel MVP defeated Jeff Hardy. Santino Marella and Beth Phoenix defeated Kofi Kingston and Mickey James in a mixed tag team match to win the WWE Intercontinental and Women's Championship.
Nice.
Matt Hardy defeated Mark Henry by DQ in an ECW championship match. CM Punk defeated Bradshaw Layfield to retain the World Heavyweight Championship. Triple H defeated the Great Khali to retain the WWE Championship. Batista defeated John Cena during the match. Cena suffered a herniated disc in his neck. The injury required surgery, and it would keep him out of action until Survivor Series. And The Undertaker defeated Edge in a Hell in a Cell. But guys, what was going on during this time that was the most fucked up part about this, as great as this card sounds, because it is a great card, but it was a travesty what they were doing to fucking CM Punk at the time. He was the fucking heavyweight champion, carrying the fucking shit on his back. No, this was not the time. Wait a minute.
No. This title was fucking awesome. This was a horrible title.
Yeah. I didn't care for CM Punk at the time. No. So, yeah, it was a good card. Or no, Christian, you got something bad to say about this card? To me, it sounds like a great card.
In fact, I think I watched it. No, just like the last matches were the only good shit on this fucking card. The rest was fucking garbage.
Hello?
I'm right here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Christian.
Hello?
I can hear you, Albert.
Chuck can hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Hey, Chuck.
I can hear you now.
Okay, so
the last
few matches of this card, it was the only good matches, like John Cena and Batista and Edge versus Taker, but the rest were like fucking dog shit. Triple H versus the Great Khali, who the fuck decided to do that? You know, Triple H has terrible matches with giant wrestlers. That's been history. It's been documented. Fucking CM Punk versus JBL, that sounds fucking boring. Like, what the fuck? And plus, where the fuck is Randy Orton at this point? Like, this is 2009. This was the year of Orton. Where the fuck was he at during all this?
It's pretty solid of him to just fucking disappear for a while.
That's a great point.
Yeah, WWE is like notorious for just having dudes disappear. Like Kevin said, like they're not even on injury or nothing. They're just like gone. You know what I mean? I guess it's like on a little break or something. But yeah, who knows?
Well, what about this
Randy Orton was doing?
Orton just was gone. He's in the middle of a fucking story with fucking bro. Then he fucking leaves for 2 months. Out of nowhere, and they even put him on the fucking injured list. And then he comes back looking like a fucking out-of-work fucking paint salesman.
No explanation whatsoever where he's been. No explanation.
Yeah, I mean, what the fuck?
I don't get it.
He doesn't know
and then this whole
shit. He can disappear if he wants to. He come back and RKO somebody. He's Randy fucking K. Orton.
No, but the build. No,
that's
but
what
the build
said
up
in his promo. I'm RKO. When Randy was talking that shit, Randy was like, I don't give a shit about being anybody's bro. I'm Randy. I'm Randy. What's his middle name? Kennedy Orton.
Randy Randall Keith Orton. Randall. Yeah.
Kennedy. But yes.
No, but no, his promo makes no sense. Him saying, his promo saying that he doesn't need RK-Bro, yep, he's wearing RK-Bro merch on his fucking vest.
Well,
for
sure.
Yeah, so, great storytelling.
So and, that was that.
But,
I mean, unless if you want to go 6 years ago today, WWE
yeah.
presented SummerSlam from the Staples Center in Los Angeles. Pre-show was Rob Van Dam defeating Cesaro. Dolph Ziggler then
yeah.
defeated The Miz to win the WWE Intercontinental Championship. Paige defeated AJ Lee to win the WWE Divas Championship.
There you go.
Rusev defeated Jack Swagger, the all-American American in a flag match. American. Seth Rollins defeated Dean Ambrose, American, in a lumberjack match. Bray Wyatt defeated Chris Jericho, the filthy Canadian. Stephanie McMahon defeated Brie Bella.
Worst match of the night.
In a bit of trivia, though, this was Stephanie's first match since being defeated by her father, Vince, in an I Quit match at No Mercy 2003.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was this one of the matches that involved, for some reason around this time, I'm remembering Vicky getting, like, thrown in a bunch of, like, mud or pudding or something. That wasn't the same time period?
That was the same time period, but it was after Daniel Bryan won the WrestleMania titles. Nick Brie Bella quit so Daniel could keep his titles, and this was the same night where Nikki turned on Brie, so.
Nice.
I wish you died in the womb.
Yeah, that was horrible. That the whole rivalry was garbage.
So here's
do you remember that, Chuck?
No, I have. I have no recollection.
I remember something slightly. Yeah, I remember something. Like there's a little blitz here and there, but yes, it was very forgettable.
Roman Reigns defeated Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Wow.
Big dog.
Yeah. Brock Lesnar defeated John Cena.
Yeah, in a burial.
WWE
one of the best matches.
World Heavyweight
yeah.
Champion. It was a burial. I remember that. Damn.
Yeah, but good SummerSlam. Now, that's a good card right there.
That was the start of Suplex City, I think. I think that was the beginning of Suplex City. That was when he suplexed Cena like 16 times or something, right?
No. No, it was not.
No.
Or I think it was. I don't know. It
I think was
all
it was,
the same.
Man. I think that he just suplexed him like over and over and over again.
He didn't really call it Suplex City yet. He started calling it Suplex City at WrestleMania.
That's pretty cool. That
I think that,
that
was a John Cena match, wasn't it?
What?
Wasn't that a John Cena match where he started calling it Suplex City, or he was just
yeah,
like he just said it randomly?
It was Cena Brock. I don't
he
know
said,
if it was
Suplex
that match.
City, bitch.
The
no,
name
he, no,
of
that
this
was
article,
the,
guys. That I am.
That was
reading.
The Roman Reigns match at WrestleMania where he said Suplex City. That was
the name
just
of
him
this
doing
article,
suplex.
Guys. That I'm getting all this from is called "This Day in Wrestling History," August 17. Eat, sleep, suplex, repeat.
That's what it was.
So take what you want nah. from that.
Yeah, that was the second. That was the sequel T-shirt to "Eat, Sleep, Conquer, Repeat."
Yeah.
I love
so there you go.
It was the same
cool
year.
Paige won her first WWE title or whatever, won the championship on her birthday.
Actually,
yeah.
She won her first title after the Raw after Mania. It wasn't SummerSlam.
He said that she won in that match, so that she won the SummerSlam.
No, she won the second time.
Semantics.
So let's go ahead and squash this one. So that was it for this day in wrestling history, guys. And let's go ahead and take a break. And we come back. We got AEW Weekly to talk about. And, you know, we're going to get to the whole CM Punk thing and the dick jokes on Raw and, of course, the predictions. So stay where you're at, and we'll be right back after these words on Fatal 4-Way Radio. Wild show about your precious Dallas Cowboys? Check out the Puro Pinche Cowboys podcast, season 2, coming soon, only on the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more. Puro Pinche Cowboys! Puro Pinche Cowboys! Podcast.
If you're a homeowner and you're tired of those pricey electric bills, you're not alone. Wrestling fans all over are switching to solar, and you can too. It's as simple as going to TexasSolarNow.com and receiving a free consultation plus $25. It's that easy, and not only will you save money and make money, you're going to help save the planet too. You don't even have to live in Texas. You can go to TexasSolarNow.com, and an agent will contact you anywhere in the U.S. where service is available. So don't let the power grid fail on your family this year. Make the switch at TexasSolarNow.com, a proud partner of the World Generation Podcast Network.
And we'll Welcome back to Fatal 4-Way Radio. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, and I'm sitting here with Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Inspected, Peacemaker Kevin West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Guys, I seem to be having some technical difficulties over here. Are you guys picking up on that? Are you getting a cutout feed or?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, well let's move on with the show and see what the hell, and that's all we can do. All right, so let's go, guys. I guess it's time. Man, I'm really enjoying fucking AEW, and I was so pissed off at myself that I fucking missed that shit on Friday. But guess what? We've got the Watchdog here. Tell us all about it.
And now, the resident watchdog, Christian from Philly, with AEW Weekly.
Good evening, everybody. I am Christian from Philly, and I am here to deliver you AEW Weekly. On this edition tonight, we will talk about the phenomenal stellar debut of last week's Friday night's own AEW Rampage. The first three matches were set. Let's go with the following. The first match of the night of the first episode started with Kenny Omega versus Christian Cage for the Impact World title. This match was great. Christian could still go. Kenny Omega was great as always. It was back and forth, but the surprising factor really made it all special. When you would think that Kenny Omega was this close to retaining the title, Christian Cage reversed the one-winged angel and hit his kill switch engage, or the unprettier, whatever the move is called because it has multiple names. I'm going to call it the kill switch engage. He hit the kill switch engage on the steel chair that the Young Bucks brought in to help Kenny. And 1, 2, 3, cleanly, well, not that clean, but you know what I mean, we have our very new Impact World Champion in Christian Cage. Now, this comes into a shock because now, for the next pay-per-view for Impact Wrestling, it will be Brian Myers, a.k.a. Kurt Hawkins, Christian Cage, at the next Impact pay-per-view so far.
Kurt Hawkins?
That would be interesting. Yeah. Kurt Hawkins is the number one. If you didn't know, on Impact, they had a battle royal to determine the number one contender for the Impact World Championship. And surprisingly, Brian Myers, a.k.a. Kurt Hawkins, won the battle royal. He is the number one contender for the world title. Now, between these... Kurt Hawkins. Yeah. I wouldn't believe it.
I'm down with that. Let me just make a comment there. Brian Myers, it's his time for his push, man. He's an entertaining guy. He's decent in the ring, decent on the mic, dude. I think this is going to be a huge push, a huge boost to his career. And we might see him back in AEW or WWE, you know, in the next couple of years as a, you know, championship contender of some sort. So, yeah, man, I'm all for it. Do I think he's going to win against Christian Cage? I don't think so, but, I mean, stranger things have happened.
But but think about this. Matt Cardona is right now the GCW World Champion, so who knows? Kurt Hawkins can be the Impact World Champion. Now think about this. This feud right here, this feud has a deeper meaning behind it, because Christian Cage and Brian Myers have a history with a certain edge. That's right. If you recall, Kurt Hawkins was an egghead.
They were two goons. So that, they were Edge's goons. I love it.
Yes.
I used to love that shit back during that time. I watched that shit, Edge's goons. Edge was at the time where, you know, he had graduated to where he was the guy that had the goons now. Because, you know, when he first showed up, he was a goon.
Right.
He was a goon, you know, so now he had his goons. It was badass. I loved it.
So now that feud could be all around Edge, because they know the man personally. One is his kayfabe brother, and the other is his former goon. So there you go.
Yeah.
Up next.
All right.
Up next.
At what point are they
Julio...
just building all their storylines off of old WWE storylines, though?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's a fantastic point.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, but there you have it. It's the same shit.
No, because
WWE
has been doing...
I mean, yeah. It's full continuity for the guys because, I mean, we're not stupid and we know that they fought each other and have history. But, like, you would think, and maybe it's just because I've been a WWE fan and they always erase the slate. Like, when somebody comes in, they usually don't carry over anything from what they did before. Like, you would think, like, okay, rebrand and try something different or whatever, but... No, yeah, it's probably better to not treat the audience like they're stupid.
No, they
yeah.
never fought before, WWE. Kurt Hawkins and Christian have never fought before.
No,
right,
no,
so.
I just meant that they, like, had history or whatever.
Well,
yeah.
this is the first time they're interacting because they never interacted at all.
Who are you saying
right.
was the Viking from Edge?
I'm saying Kurt Hawkins is an edgehead and Christian is Edge's best friend, but this is the first time they're actually interacting with each other.
Right, right. I got you.
So they're going to use Edge as their feud building, you know? Like saying a certain Canadian from another another company. I'm here to prove that I was his better friend than you are, so they could use that
okay.
as their feud.
A filthy Canadian.
They did that, and I was a sponsor or like somebody on their show, like paying them for this shit. I would fucking pull out as soon as the company started doing something like that. I would start pulling out. Be like, why are you even alluding to your competition on here? So I don't think they're that way. We'll see.
They've always done that, so it doesn't matter. They've always done that.
They really have,
but. Yeah. So up next we had Fuego del Sol, Luchador versus Miro for the TNT Championship. Now, this was a great showing for multiple reasons. We all know that the Luchador was not going to win against Miro because Miro's a beast. But he showed some spirit. He showed some guts. Now, the whole stipulation is if Fuego del Sol won, not only would he win a championship, but he also wins an AEW contract. Shoot. That's a shoot. That's for real. But if he didn't, he wouldn't win a contract and not win the title. So he didn't win the title, and he didn't win the contract. But in an off-script moment, this was completely off-script, Sammy Guevara came out and presented Fuego del Sol a contract, legit, for the company. So that was a sweet moment. It was off script because you could tell because the kid was crying in the middle of the ring. It was off script. It was a real feel-good moment. Any thoughts?
It was awesome. We saw Fuego del Sol last year, around this time last year, at local wrestling. And it was like shortly, or maybe it was like 2 weeks or 2 or 3 weeks after he had his first match on AEW Dark, I think. And so he was a pretty big draw then just because they were like, this guy was on AEW, it was cool. So that's awesome that the guy's taken off. And that's why I think that more talent from down here, just like from Texas wrestling and stuff, is going to be headed up that way to AEW.
That's cool that
but,
AEW is doing that, giving them that platform and shit. I think that's all Jericho.
Yeah.
Like Jericho.
But
Jericho,
you know,
Jericho
is like,
Cody because
when he presented him with that contract, I was thinking, so the kid is they're telling him that they're giving him a contract. What if the contract fucking sucks? Like, what if so he's telling it right then, but what if they get back there and they start looking at everything and he's like, I can't sign this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not television.
Well, I'm sure it was still negotiable. And I'm sure it was still more than what he was making in the indies and he's just happy to be there. You know what I mean? But,
yeah.
Going back to like AEW giving a platform to these guys, Fuego del Sol, like you said, wrestles here, wrestles Corpus, wrestles Houston. He's been all over the country too, and Mexico. It's good to see him there. But it was actually, I think, you know, I could be wrong, but it was actually Cody Rhodes who you know, was bringing in guys like Sammy Guevara because Cody Rhodes wrestled Sammy Guevara down in Texas, or sorry, down in Corpus a couple of years ago, actually right before AEW started. So I'm pretty sure that it was Cody Rhodes that was, you know, talent scouting and going around to, you know, different smaller companies and getting these talents. But, you know, they're doing good, like you said, giving the platform to these guys, because, you know, even if it's just temporary or just for like 6 months or a year, it just helps, you know, indie wrestling as a whole, because these guys can go back down and draw a bigger audience to
an independent
show.
Yeah, they eat up.
Look at what it's done for people like Thunder Rosa and stuff like that. Just like a little bit of AEW TV time has helped a lot of people's career a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Oh,
yeah, definitely.
For sure.
Mark my words, I'll say this year, Thunder Rosa will be in the top five Pro Wrestling Illustrated women wrestlers next
right.
year. I guarantee.
Really?
If not number one.
Wow.
I say top 10, but, you know, anyway.
We shall see.
Continuing on from the report, this is a personal thing right now. Get Chris Jericho and Mark Henry off commentary immediately. I'm sorry. Like, I love Mark and I love Jericho, but fuck me, they're terrible in commentary. I'm sorry. Mark Henry sounds like the most boringest motherfucker you can hear on commentary, and Jericho's screaming and screeching like a fucking banshee. I fucking had to mute my TV. I don't understand how he's so good in cutting promos, but when it comes to commentary, he's fucking obnoxious. He sounds like he's on caffeine. It's horrible. Get those two off of commentary immediately. They're horrible. They are dreadful. So we go to the main event, which is, you know, Pittsburgh, the hometown of Britt Baker. It's Britt Baker versus Red Velvet for the women's title. Good match. Red Velvet, even though she's the babyface, got booed because it's Pittsburgh, and they cheered for the hometown hero in Britt Baker, and she's the heel. They cheered for Britt Baker. They booed Red Velvet. Britt retains with her signature move. I don't know what it's called. So Chris Statlander, who's a wrestler, was in the attendance. She attacked Britt Baker because Britt Baker was attacking Red Velvet after the match. And then a returning wrestler, which I don't know what her name is. I'm so sorry. She has blonde hair. I don't know who she is. She's been gone for a while. She returns and she becomes part of Britt Baker's like faction, I guess. So I guess that's her new bodyguard too. So yeah, that's the end of AEW Rampage. It was a stellar show, in my opinion. What are your thoughts?
I didn't see the return. I didn't get that far, so I'm not sure who returned.
Yeah, I missed that.
They used to have a chick. I've been wanting to come back, but I think she's done wrestling. But they had a chick named Sadie Gibbs for a while in AEW, and she was badass.
It was a blonde girl. They said she has a new look, so I wouldn't really tell you. I don't know who this chick is. I'm sorry.
All right, and so moving on, this next segment has to do with AEW. I mean, we're talking about CM Punk here. The segment is shows or blows.
He will
show up. Or does he blow it off?
He has to show up, all right? You do not understand, all right? They have been teasing this motherfucker to show up on this fucking Rampage for fucking 2 weeks now, all right? They've had Darby Allin go on TV mentioned best in the fucking world, okay? I'm telling you this right now. If CM Punk does not show up this Friday, that whole stadium will go fucking nuclear. They will never trust AEW again. You will see fucking garbage. No, I'm serious. I'm not exaggerating. You will see fucking garbage being thrown around the arena. You will see garbage being thrown around the arena. You will hear chants, refund, refund, and this is fucking bullshit. That's what you will be expecting if he does not show up this Friday at AEW Rampage.
You're right. You're definitely right. But what if he doesn't show up? What if everybody's just trolling? You know what I mean? Like, what if he doesn't show up? There's that possibility still, and it's pretty slim. But I think it's one of those things where it's like, it's going to be one of the greatest moments in wrestling history because it's so under wraps right now, and nobody really knows 100% for sure if he is going to show up or not. So it's going to be one of those moments of, like, surprise, you know, like those WCW moments of, you know,
what
fucking
that
coming back or as the Crow or the NWO heel turn or Hogan's heel turn. It's going to be one of those types of moments, dude. And I will definitely be glued to my TV set for that this Friday.
What about that tweet he released? Those were the two numbers before 21 do coincide with years he signed WWE contracts.
I'll tell you. 2005 was his beginning. 2011 was the summer of Punk. And 2021 is AEW.
So, I hate to burst your bubble too, Christian, but you know, you say that, like, the way that it's advertised, he has to, like, they have no choice but for him to show up. They've been telling me that this Kanye West CD is supposed to come out for, like, 5 weeks now, dude. And, like, Instagram will put it out there and say, like, it's coming out, the CD's coming out this Friday. And then everybody gets up, they're, like, Friday at, like, midnight, and they're like waiting for Thursday night at midnight, and the album doesn't come out, and they wait until, like, 6 a.m., and it doesn't come out. And it's like another 2 weeks of everybody being pissed off until Kanye tweets or puts something on Instagram or whatever. And so, I mean, they don't have to. He could get more heat by not showing up.
But you're describing something. It sounds like one of my podcasts there, Kevin. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. But imagine this, right? Imagine this, right? If CM Punk does not show up, right? Imagine if they debuted Daniel Bryan in Chicago this Friday. That would fucking ruin his debut because they would fucking boo the shit out of him. They would boo Daniel Bryan because that's not who they wanted to see.
And then what if he shows up at SmackDown, CM Punk? I mean, not SmackDown.
I was thinking that, man. I was watching Raw. I was like, man, what if Punk just came out on Raw instead? I was like, that'd be so fucking awesome.
Oh, my God. Everybody would mark the fuck out. It would be crazy.
It would suck. It would be the worst decision, but it would be like all this heat.
It would still be a mark of the moment. But, hey, Albert, here's one for you, Albert, and putting Albert on the spot here because, I mean, why the hell not, right? So we are brought to you by Pro Wrestling Planet. And by the way, thank you for listening to us. If you're listening to us, you know, from Pro Wrestling Planet, but let's do the commercial for it. So you got 1 minute starting now. Pro Wrestling Planet. What are we going to get from that, Albert?
If you're looking for news, opinions, thoughts, Facebook promos from people you've never met in your entire life, go to Pro Wrestling Planet at blog. I'm sorry, Pro Wrestling Planet on Facebook groups. Go to Pro Wrestling Planet page. Go to the Pro Wrestling Planet Instagram and get yourself a daily dose of some wrestling memes or some stupid opinion that you have no idea where that opinion even or came from. They totally put me on the spot here, Minister. But
they got
go like Pro Wrestling Planet. And also, real quick, don't forget to check out Midnight Shock, which is going to come on at 12. Midnight tonight. It's Alex Stanches from Stanches TV, a good pal over there. He's doing a horror-themed show on his YouTube channel. That's at 12 a.m. Central Standard Time. And don't forget to go to Pro Wrestling Planet on Instagram, on Facebook groups, and the Facebook page. And if you're a homeowner, go to TexasSolarNow.com and get yourself some solar panels for your house. That's it. That was my minute, right? You really did put me on the spot there. I was almost about to go to sleep. I was dozing. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
I love it.
Yeah.
So was that it for no CM Punk? So shit. I mean, who knows? We're gonna find. It's gonna be a great week for wrestling because he either shows up
or
he doesn't.
Or a shit week of wrestling.
I mean, fuck. It's all on the line.
Yeah.
CM Punk. What do I have here for CM Punk? I got, let's see.
That's a good song. Fuck the Cult of Personality. I didn't like Cult of Personality, to be honest.
I like his old theme song, but I don't like his old character. I like his Cult of Personality character, but, you know, I don't like that. man. We had Raw this week,
last week.
But before we had Raw, though, we had SmackDown. And, of course, as you know, we have Roman Reigns leading the show, the head of the table. And I have an inside joke, you know, here with the fam and shit about, you know, you got to be home in time for the head of the table. you got to be home in time for the head of the table. But let me tell you, man, the guy is fucking coming out on Raw now, and he's doing dick jokes. They're SmackDown, and they're doing dick jokes. Thank you, Christian. SmackDown. And they're doing dick jokes on SmackDown now. And it's like, okay, I get it. They want to raise the fucking bar, but dick jokes?
It's awful.
I mean, I that look that Roman gives? That's the look I have on my face right now. I'm like, dick jokes? Really?
I think the music is cutting you out, Chuck. We can't hear you with the music playing.
Yeah. Turn off the music. It's
awful. I'm like, dick jokes? That's all they got? And fucking, you know, not only that, but, I mean, like I'm saying, I got that look that Roman gives on his face. When he's knocking whatever the hell he's knocking, right? I'm like, dick jokes, really? I understand that they want to fucking, you know, that they want to raise the bar. But shit, man, with dick jokes, really, Albert? Is that enough to raise the bar? A good old-fashioned dick joke?
No. It's just, did they have... Well, okay, yeah, I guess it did have a lot of dick jokes back in the Attitude Era, but I don't think – it just seems awkward and just misplaced, you know?
It does. It's the guys – it's Cena's fault. It's because he's opposing Cena, and that's what Cena used to do, and so that's like – that's how they're having him react to Cena whenever. That's how they're writing Roman against Cena for whatever reason. They've done it before. I don't know why they make Roman – they totally make Roman look like a bitch against Cena every time that he's up against him. But Cena has a right too. Both of these guys, this is a really cool promo to watch, man, because Cena talks in a way, he talks over Roman in that promo, and he, like, keeps talking to where he won't let Roman get his shit out. And then Roman had the crowd doing the what chant to him, and Roman changes his stance, or his stanza, how he's talking, and, like, and kills the what chant really well. And Roman actually does do a good promo when he's not talking about the dick joke stuff. So, I don't know. There was, like, a lot of emotion from Roman in the promo, too. Like it is chiseling away at, like, what he is seeing as getting under his skin. I get that. So, it is kind of cool, but it is stupid, those dick jokes.
Wait a minute. Watchdog. Wait a minute. Slow down. Let me get Albert's opinion.
Okay.
Albert, what about the dick jokes? Is he on mute?
No, I mean, I just they're awkward and out of place. And you know what? Roman Reigns seems to be coming into his own because it looks like they're taking off the reins, if you will, on Roman Reigns. And his his promos aren't scripted anymore. So that's a good sign. But I think he's still trying to feel himself out. And this is the problem here, right? You know, back in the day, before somebody made it to TV, right, they would work on their promos for years and years and years and years. That way, when they finally got to the, you know, TV, you have your Stone Cold Steve Austin's or The Rock's, your Mick Foley's, your Ric Flair's, and, you know, all these badass promo cutters, because they've been doing these promos for years and years and years. By the time they get to a larger audience, they're able to just cut a badass promo. Roman Reigns, on the other hand, pretty much went through the WWE developmental territory, had his promo scripted on him the entire time. I'm talking like the last like 10 years of his career have been completely scripted promos. So that's a detriment to him, because now that they're literally taking the reins off of him and letting him go out there unscripted, he has to find himself. You know what I mean? So he's throwing out dick jokes, and he's throwing out, you know, all sorts of weird things. And I agree with Kevin.
Yeah.
He
he's better on the mic than he's been in recent years, but he's still, I guess, finding himself, finding his the way he's, you know, going to be talking going forward. And that's a good thing. You know, it's a bad thing that they barely took the, you know, the reins off of him, you know, recently, because he should have been learning this shit for years. But it's a good thing that they're finally, WWE's finally, you know, letting these guys, some of these guys, go out there unscripted.
I have a better understanding of that now. I mean, I didn't get it. I'm like, what the fuck? I think he's better than that. I think he's capable of more than that. And, you know, but maybe this is the first time in a while that he's had the reins let loose like he had. I don't know. Do you think maybe Cena fucking told them, hey, man, you got to fucking let this kid go. You know, you gotta let this kid go, and we got to go back and forth against each other. That's the only way he's going to learn. Do you think Cena might have been involved in that, anybody?
No, because if that was the case, he would have let him talk more. Fucking Cena fucking talked the majority of this fucking promo. This promo makes no fucking sense whatsoever.
Yeah,
he's mentioning people like fucking Dean Ambrose and fucking CM Punk. People that have nothing to do with this fucking feud saying that Roman was the reason why Dean Ambrose was driven off the company. That's a fucking lie. That is a fucking lie.
Yeah, man. Cena was big dogging the big dog is what I got from that promo.
Yeah, that's
Cena
that
was
that
big
Roman.
Dogging the big dog.
He did it again. He's not putting over Roman. It doesn't look like he's like is burying him almost.
Yeah.
Like, fuck me.
He's
this is like an ego thing.
So they're gonna let. They want Roman to go out there and see if he can cut his own promo. If they're unscripting him and stuff, then they're gonna let Cena just fucking walk all over him. They're gonna say, go out there and talk shit about what. So he comes up with Nicabella. I'm supposed to think that Roman, Joe NY was the guy that came up. He was like, what if? And if him and Cena worked it out backstage, like, is it cool if I mention Nikki? It's in bad taste. And just stupid.
Suck.
It's just stupid too. It's like you could write the show is fucking fiction. Quit using like stupid real shit that like I don't know, it's just stupid.
Cena was recently in a movie. Cena was recently in a movie and he thanked The Rock for the role. Giving him the role or some kind of shit. I don't know. Was Rock executive producer or some shit of that movie? What the fuck? What is that about?
No.
But nevertheless,
no.
Before we move on into that, personally, I think Roman Reigns would look better in that suit than Cena did.
The whole feud with Roman and John Cena makes no sense. So let's recap real quick.
Yeah, but what about
John
the movie?
The movie was not John Cena's
movie.
Movie.
Why is he thinking
it's not
the
his
Rock?
Movie. The Rock had nothing to do with the fucking movie. Rock was doing Jungle Cruise.
I saw the fucking article. He said he was thanking The Rock and shit for the role.
I guess Rock turned down the role and John Cena took his place. I don't know.
Nevertheless, John Cena's definitely following in The Rock's footsteps, and it seems like The Rock is, you know, obviously extending the olive branch to Cena, and as he should. So kudos to The Rock. I mean, there's no telling what Cena would do for The Rock. Now, I mean, goddamn. All right.
Yeah.
Watchdog. Continue.
So the John Cena, let's recap real quick so we can get on with the report. Yeah. So John Cena, right, returns Money in the Bank, steals Roman Reigns' spotlight again because he always does that every time he returns. Fucking does promos on Raw challenging the big dog. The big dog on SmackDown says no. Then Finn Balor's inserted into this for no reason whatsoever. Fucking we have a contract signing the next Friday after that. Fucking John Cena, as a fucking heel, steals Finn Balor's contract and fucking signs his name, so he steals Finn Balor's opportunity. Then, fucking, they're doing
shit. That's some heel shit. John Cena's the fucking heel shit here. So is this the fucking turn? Is this the turn that you've been talking about?
No.
Is it going to happen? I mean,
it's like,
goddamn. It seems
like
that's
a good
what it
bully.
Is.
It's like he's allowed to bully people, but he's the good guy. It's bullshit.
It's horrible. This is worse than Hogan at this point.
But
so
Roman
comes,
deserves to be bullied. Roman is a bad guy. Let's not forget that Cena is bullying Roman because he's a fucking bad guy that bullies other people.
Yep.
Roman does
yeah,
need to
Roman,
be.
Yeah, but Roman looks like
I
an idiot
know.
Because he just sit there and let him sign the contract like an idiot. Roman
I
looks
mean,
like
call,
an idiot in this.
I don't know. At this point, you can call me a pansexual or some shit or a pan wrestler or whatever the fuck. A pan fan.
There you go.
I'm confused. I'm totally fucking confused here because clearly Cena seems like a bad guy.
He is the bad guy. He's returning to steal a spotlight again. He fucking
Yo.
Stole another wrestler's opportunity with a contract signing. And fucking he's bullying the fucking champion, saying that he was the reason that one of his best friends left the fucking company, saying that he was another reason why he almost ruined Seth Rollins. He's a fucking heel. He's not no babyface in this fucking story. How the fuck is he a babyface at this point?
They did say several years ago that they were, you know, going to, you know, break the boundaries of heel babyface. But, man, at this point,
well,
they got me fucked up, man. They got me fucked up. And that's one of the reasons why I'm really enjoying AEW a lot more than WWE. It's like I said, WWE is like the fucking white noise. It's the fucking background noise. It's a ritual. It's custom and shit. But, you know, football season is right around the fucking corner. And I don't have the fucking fancy setup. Don't get me wrong. I'll still have, I guess I'll have it on. I'll probably have the game on the TV and the fucking WWE on the computer. And I'll be listening to the TV. And who the fuck knows? Depending on the game, I guess.
And also, yeah.
But,
so the
but
summer
fuck
tour Cena bullshit. Yeah. So the summer tour Cena bullshit, I hope those people in live attendance are getting their money's worth. Because the only matches that John Cena's been fucking doing since coming back in live events has been only fucking six-man tags with fucking John Cena and the Mysterios versus the Usos and Roman Reigns. That's the only match he does in live events.
I have to say, though, I mean, you know, in response to that, Christian, my reaction to that is, I mean, that's obviously about the money. John Cena's limited to what he can do because, you know, he's a big actor now. He has these fucking, these movies and shit. He's got to get insurance and shit. He fucking hurts himself and shit out there doing a fucking shitty ass wrestling show that he's not going to get paid nowhere near as much as he gets paid for doing a fucking movie. I mean, that's just
that's
life
what?
Balancing itself out. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think it's false advertisement.
I mean, at this point, he's got to look out for his best interests and shit like that. And, you know, he can come back but in a limited role. That's why he's doing, what, the dark matches? Is that what he's doing?
Yeah, live event and dark matches.
He comes out,
but I think it's
talks shit on the mic, and then he does dark match to send the crowd home happy in a fucking three-on-three where he's very limited in his role.
I think it's false advertisement. They should have just said John Cena and Friends Tour. If that was the case.
Dead air.
Hello? Hello?
Chuck.
Yeah, I'm here. I faded out, but I'm back.
Okay.
Yeah, I faded out, but I'm back. So, yeah, let's move along.
All the fans are happy. WWE fans are happy. Just in case you are wondering, I know that not everybody's happy about everything. The WWE fans are happy about Cena being back, and they're probably happy about Cena versus Roman, and it's probably going to be a cool match somewhat, you know? I don't know. It's not a total
I think the match will be gas, man. I think the match will be good, dude. I think Cena will put on a good match. It'll probably be a short match, probably 12 minutes or, you know, I don't see him going 25 minutes or anything like that. I think it'll be a short match, but I think it'll be an explosive match.
The best thing they can do, in my opinion, is have Cena win and give him his 17th and take the heat from Ric Flair leaving and let Cena
Let Cena become something that the people hate. Let him get the belt and let him become this character, Hollywood
God,
Cena.
I'm all for that.
Turn him into a heel like that.
Now is the perfect time to fucking do that because, I mean, Flair just left, so what loyalty do they have to Ric Flair? Come
if
on.
They don't like Roman.
Well, I don't know about that. You know, I heard a little rumor. But you know, if you saw SmackDown last week, right, there was a segment where Baron Corbin stole Big E's briefcase, right? I heard a rumor that if Cena does win, Baron might cash in and become the new champion.
Who?
Oh, my God.
Baron Corbin?
That would be awful.
Wow.
That would be a nightmare.
Don't tell me that was a spoiler rumor.
He's one of the best things that they got on their show, dude. Baron Corbin has, like, I wanted to point him out last week on the show about how good he's been. But, like, it's just a fucking cool character. And, like, the way that he wrestles is cool. All the shit he's been involved in.
How can you not like Baron Corbin at this point?
I don't want him to be a WWE champion yet, no, but.
No,
but
I don't want that.
He's definitely cool. I used to hate that dude's fucking guts, and now, like, I think he's one of my favorite guys on the roster.
Oh, man, dude. I'm so happy to fucking hear that. I love Baron Corbin, dude. I'm so glad you heard this rumor. I'm all for it. Fuck yeah.
No, I'm not.
Yes,
that would be terrible. People will be fucking angry. People will be terrible. The ring will go down.
You fucking do-do-do-do and fucking yeah. That's fucking with the time. Have him win the title, and then have fucking Corbin come out and cash it in after a rough ass battle.
But that will fuck over Big E. That will fuck over Big E.
Sorry, but your damn luck. You know, because I wanted to touch on the whole thing,
and then we get a fatal four-way at the next pay-per-view.
Bro.
And then Roman
wins
back.
Touching up on from last week, I wanted to touch up on from last week, too. I failed to mention, Albert, that, oh, my God. What did I say a couple of weeks before about fucking Big E? All he's going to be doing is fucking making googly eyes and shaking his fucking ass with the goddamn briefcase. And what do we get from? He's backstage fucking making those fucking stupid googly eyes.
Because the writers don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Oh, my God. And so, he's fucked. So what about Big E? Mm-hmm. I mean, well, then he goes into the feud with Baron Corbin, and he wins the title from Baron Corbin in a meaningless feud.
God.
And he goes on his meaningless run, much like Kofi Kingston did.
But what about Roman? What does Roman do then? What happens for Roman?
Who the fuck knows?
He doesn't need the title.
He's the head of the table. He doesn't need the title. He's too big for the title.
No, but that's the whole point of the whole gimmick. That's the whole reason why he became the head of the table, was for the fucking championship.
You get by Corbin that point, to beat Roman. This is what the storyline is. You get Corbin to not pin Cena, Corbin to pin Roman and cash in. And then now Corbin is back on top, and now Roman doesn't have anything, and now we get the storyline of Roman falling apart over the weeks, like we have Corbin. And Roman lost everything, and the episodes are like, fuck you, Luz. Fuck you, Luz. You used to treat us like shit, bro. Remember me?
Kevin with the
but
fucking gas.
Do you really want Roman versus Corbin feud again? I don't want to see that again.
No, Corbin wrestled somebody on Raw. Corbin wrestled Drew on Raw. I thought it was a fucking cool match. And even though it did end like stupid, like with the 1-2-3 thing, but that match was cool last week. And it just showed me that like Corbin's wrestling style was cool. I like him wrestling more like he is now than he was before. So So I think that Corbin, I think that Corbin could be definitely a main event wrestler, and they're in the right direction with the characters stuff that they're giving.
Yeah.
So we're gonna take our final break, and then we're gonna come back. When we come back, we're gonna get the WWE report, which is going to include our predictions.
Yeah.
On Monday Night Raw. So yeah, stay tuned for that. And so yeah, we'll be right back after these words on Fatal 4-Way Radio. Stay tuned.
I'm sick of all these people talking out their heads. I've never understood a damn thing that they said. From word to action, never knowing what they're about. I guess I'll have to chew them up and sit them out. And I said,
from the Friendly Fire Cigar Studio in Houston, Texas, you're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more. Friendly Fire Cigars, come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, VAO, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, 4 HDTVs with 4 separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Ashford. Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there. You're on the air with Fatal 4-Way Radio. What's going on?
So Roman Reigns doesn't need anything. All of y'all are just haters because he just needs less clothes.
Oh, wow.
Wait a minute.
I've been listening for a while. I am calling from America.
And what was the comment on Roman Reigns?
That he needs less clothes to
like
him.
Like Randy Orton and
Randy
Orton. There's a couple of guys like
this.
No, wait.
Can do anything.
Wear this speedo. It looks like they're naked out there. I'm
no,
like,
wait a
minute. Guys,
she brings up a valid point, guys. Just last week, actually, we were talking about Alexa Bliss and how some asshole was fucking comparing her ass from her NXT days. And then this week, Alexa Bliss debuted a new outfit that she was showing a little bit of ass cheek there, guys.
Kind of like a fucking ass cheek. Yeah.
Holler, what did you think about the Alexa Bliss, the new outfit? Should she be showing more skin as well?
Everyone should show more skin.
Yes.
Everyone should show more skin. On Fatal 4-Way Radio.
Generation Podcast Network. I am Resident Heel, Minister of Sinister, and I'm sitting here with Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Inspected, Peacemaker Kevye West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. And by the way, we're brought to you by Pro Wrestling Planet. That's right, and you can check that out on Facebook. So is it Facebook/ Pro Wrestling Planet? Is that how it works? Albert Inspected?
I'm sure. Or it's Facebook/ The Pro Wrestling Planet. I know that's what it is on Instagram.
Yeah, it's The Pro Wrestling Planet on Instagram, and it's Pro Wrestling Planet on Facebook. But yeah, mainly because it was another Instagram handle with that name. I have no idea. But it's on there. And also the Facebook group. Just look up Pro Wrestling Planet on the Facebook group and join in on the conversation. We got posts from
local wrestling and GCWA and posts from, you know, all different eras of pro wrestling, big, small, and discussions with, you know, like-minded individuals. So go give us a like on there.
Nice. And guys, as always, thank you for being a part of Fatal 4-Way Radio. And check it out, man. It's time for...
And now, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Swami Christian from Philly with this week's WWE Report. Swami?
Guys, this last night's show, the go-home show, to one of the four biggest pay-per-views of this company was the worst fucking show I've ever saw in my life as a pro wrestling fan. Last night was dreadful. Horrendous. What were you going to say? Who's going to say something right now?
I just, it's sad to hear. I was just like, that's like to have to sit through that.
It's horrible. And I have a witness who was there. Albert is there, so he's a witness. He was there live. So.
Wait a minute. I'm going to have to disagree with the whole thing was horrible. The whole thing was not horrible. There were some great, funny moments in that show. I mean, the whole thing with The Miz and Morrison, the Moink.
Hey,
I mean,
don't
that,
forget our girl Nia Jax. Our girl Nia Jax was out there shining. We'll get to it.
Guys.
No.
Man, let me tell you something. I've been doing this.
Yeah, her sequins were just about blinding us in the first few rows.
10 years, you can probably look on the internet and find shows of me. It used to be Monday Night Fallout. All right. 10 years ago, I was talking about how John Morrison, I mean, because he was fucking great, man. He's always been great. But his fucking mic work was fucking horrific 10 years ago. But now, just to watch him fucking, obviously he was listening to me the whole time. But, no, really, it gives me great joy to see him fucking develop into, you know, now he's got Moist TV. I mean, holy shit. Christian, how the fuck could you not be entertained by that shit?
I was laughing the whole time. It's just Miz TV. It's still the same bullshit.
He literally said
the same.
Except it was Moist TV.
It's not.
He
it
did the exact
matter.
Same intro that Miz says. He did say the exact same intro that Miz says. I'll give him a minus for that, okay? I'll give him a minus for that. I mean, he's definitely not an A top player, but he's definitely a B plus player. Enough to fucking stand up there and entertain, you know, a house full of fucking people. It was not sold out. I don't know if they billed it as sold out, and if they did, it's because, you know, the scalpers bought the tickets. But you could clearly see there were several sections with, you know, that were clearly the whole section and shit was like people gone and shit. The boxes.
Good. Those are smart people. Those are intelligent people who wouldn't waste a fucking cent on these terrible shows.
Albert, what was the mood like in there? Did you see it as sold out? No, I can't see that you would have. Or was it sold out from where you were looking? Albert? Mute? Maybe unmute? Albert? Damn it.
We lost him.
Oh,
that's how quiet
shit.
It was in there. That's how he was last night sitting in the arena. He was just silent like that.
That's exactly how quiet it was.
Johnny Nitro is cool, dude. I don't know. There was a point where if they had brought him back, they could have booked him like how when Drew came back. I think that on the indies for a second, he was like a viable main eventer. And,
you know,
yeah. So, I mean, but he's getting the rub right now as like coming back and getting to do his character again in a better way. Like, I think that he's getting a better John Morrison run than he got the first time.
And clearly they're planting seeds for a a departure, you know, for a feud between the, you know, Miz and Morrison. You think that happens at SummerSlam?
No, I don't care at this point. I really don't care because I've seen it already years ago. But that's not the point. That's not the point I was complaining about. I'll explain why I didn't like it. We begin the show with a little cut and paste from last week's fucking show. Randy Orton coming down to the fucking ring, cutting a promo. And then Matt Riddle comes down. Same, it's like rinse and repeat, cut and paste of what happened last week.
Where it was fucking exactly the same.
Randy
shit.
Doesn't.
Making me sick.
It's the same fucking segment. It was the same fucking segment. Fucking, and then we had a match between AJ Styles and Riddle again. Another fucking match we've seen already. And surprise, surprise, 50-50 booking at its finest. Matt Riddle fucking loses because Randy was not in the corner of Matt Riddle. Wow, what a good fucking number one contenders we have here. 50-50 booking at best.
Yeah.
Great, great booking. Great booking.
I hear you there. It is the 50-50 booking aspect of it sucks, but it's different outcomes. Even though it's the same segment, it went different than it did last week. We saw different outcomes in both matches, and in the second one, it was the same one. But we saw that they actually did become friends again. Like, it's, you know, we got to take it. If people want the storyline, the people that want it, they're getting it. The people that don't want it, you know, we're getting it. It's gonna end. We all know how it's going to end. Randy's going to turn on him.
It did.
I was hoping, you know, really what I was thinking is that Riddle was going to come out and interfere and going to go for, and Randy was going to give him a hug. And when Randy came in for the hug, he was going to turn him upside down and give him the bro Derek. And then that was going to kickstart a feud between Randy and Matt. But it didn't happen.
I wanted him to give him an RKO, you know, because we're bros now. We can give each other RKOs.
Yeah.
In my fantasy land, that's what I wanted. I wanted for Riddle to give him an RKO because, you know, we're so tight now that we can give each other RKOs. Because, you know, last week he was showing him. He was teaching him. Albert, welcome back. We're talking about, you know, the RKO that either never happened or, you know, I don't know. Randy Orton last night.
He wasn't teaching him shit. He was telling him. He said that he was trying to get him off his back.
Albert?
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was a great segment. It was a decent segment. But, surprisingly, I was out in the front, and I saw Randy Orton late night drive away in his BMW. It's called Coca-Cola Drive. And there was a BMW that pulled up after all the cars had left, and they were waiting out in the front. And pretty much so all the entire, you know, audience had left, you know, at that point. It was about an hour after the show. And this is BMW parked there. I see it in the corner of my eye. And it's parked there because it's at a stoplight. It's pulling out of the arena, but it's still going into the street. And there's a stoplight, you know. And I turn and look, and, like, you know, 30 feet away or so, it's Randy Orton with his little mustache there. And I'm just kind of standing there looking at him. He's kind of like turned his head. I don't think he saw me. He was just kind of looking both ways because the light turned green and he took off. And I was trying to pull out my phone. You know, I couldn't get the picture in time. So, I saw Randy Orton drive off in his rental, or maybe it was his car. I don't know. It was BMW SUV.
I wish that we could find the camera footage of that, you know, because Big Brother. And the street corner footage of that shit. And then have that. You guys remember, what was it, about 10 years ago maybe? They had that meme of Orton. Not, it wasn't a meme. It was a GIF or a GIF or whatever the fuck of Orton. But it was like a little cartoon. And they were making him fucking, you know, do the RKO on everything.
Yeah,
that was great. That was great.
Have him RKO, Albert.
Yeah. I'd like to see him RKO him, like that. That'd be fantastic. Oh, my God. For not taking the picture of him, obviously.
So up next, right, it's the beginning of the end for the Nikki Ash experiment. It's already failing. You can hear already fucking
don't
booze.
Me.
It's already fucking booze. You can hear the crowd turning on her already. It's fucking failing. It's a failure.
We lost Albert.
Oh, man.
Anyway, go ahead.
So, yeah.
Continue.
Yeah, so you can hear, yeah, the crowd has completely fucking turned on this character now. Fucking in the live event of Charlotte, North Carolina, they booed her ass. And now they're booing her ass now here tonight. There was even a fucking sign that said, "You are not my hero." And it had X cross with her fucking mask symbol. So, yeah. Yeah, this gimmick is fucking stupid. It's failing, and nobody's fucking liking it. All right? They've already turned on Nikki Ash for fucking a few weeks already now. They hate this gimmick.
Hey,
so
I was, like, watching – I was watching the little snippets on YouTube, and my little girl saw just, like, the little thumbnail with Nikki A.S.H. on it. She was like, "Oh, the butterfly one." And she was like, "I want to watch that one." And so we watched that match, and she was all about it. She loves her.
But that's not,
I know that's not their demographic, but I'm just saying, like, she loves her.
Well, that's fine, but the crowd doesn't love her.
I feel different about it now that I know where this is going. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I really marked out for it at first. I wanted it to happen, but, like, now that I see that she's just a pawn in this, you know. I mean, don't get me wrong. Some characters, I guess, are used
the and the whole character
like that.
Is built to lose to like being called
but
almost
yeah,
a superhero.
Man,
like,
it's just fucking fucked up, man.
When she like, does lose, she's gonna cut a promo about how at least I tried my best, you know. I'm almost a superhero. I was the champion for a little while and that's good enough for me.
Go fuck yourself. That will fucking that's horrible. That's horrible. That's a horrible babyface character. And guess what? The fucked up part is this was all her idea, and this all blew up in her fucking face. This title run is shit. It's a joke. She lost twice in one night.
Yeah, but
you're wallowing.
You know what? Not just the fact that. Wait a minute. You know. So what if it was her idea? There's still people that have to fucking sign off on this shit.
Yeah, Vince McMahon, it's all his idea, too. It's all his fault, too. So they're both at fault.
There you go. Proving my point.
They're both.
And by the way, speaking of Vincent Kennedy McMahon, next week, right here on Fatal 4-Way Radio, it will be Vincent Kennedy McMahon week. It's all going to be about Vince McMahon next week. Not necessarily the whole show, but we will be talking about Vince McMahon next week right here on Fatal 4-Way Radio. So we're still waiting on Albert. Hopefully he makes it back in. He said he was having problems. I myself was having problems earlier. And, you know, I don't know. I think I'm okay now, but we'll see.
Yeah. So, yeah, Nikki Cross. Face Rhea Ripley again, a repeat match. It was fucking boring. Nobody gave a fuck about this match. Rhea pins the champion. She loses clean. The champion loses clean again, like a schmuck. Then the next match, surprise, surprise, another fucking repeat, ladies and gentlemen. A fucking repeat, a handicap match between the two guys that are with Jinder Mahal. Versus Drew McIntyre again. And again, the match fucking sucks. This feud fucking sucks. This feud fucking is awful. This is for fucking SummerSlam. Watching fucking handicap matches after handicap matches. Fucking either ending in DQ or pinfall. This fucking feud sucks. I hate this feud. It's awful. Fuck Jinder Mahal. Fuck Drew McIntyre in this feud.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, you know, Christian, I don't like the feud either. I don't like the whole sort. Now they bring out a big rock and place it on the stage so that he can stab his fucking sword in the rock. Used to, he stabbed it just directly on into the stage, and of course they had the opening for it and shit.
Yeah.
Now, Now they got the stupid fucking Rock out there, and the whole fucking sword's been bastardized completely. And I don't care for it. Kevin?
I was just going to say that they would eventually tell the story anyways. They should have told the story sooner, but Jinder wasn't here. So, I mean, if these two guys who were in a team for a long time and both came back and became world champions are going to fight each other, SummerSlam was a good stage for it. I think it does deserve SummerSlam. The sword is kind of cool whenever it's not in the Rock or, or like, I don't know, whenever it's like, I still am a mark for Drew, so I'm still backing Drew, even if he's, like, in the mid-card picture. That's where he needs to be, I think. They need to keep him hovering in this contendership picture and making him look strong, but not pulling the trigger on giving him back the belt yet.
Welcome back, Albert. Albert,
you back?
Oh, hey, everybody. Sorry, yeah, I'm back. Yeah, Drew McIntyre rules.
Yeah, still,
was that right. Was that Kevier imitating me?
No. I caught like half that conversation. I'm having problems over here on my end, but yeah.
Kevier, was that you imitating me, dude?
I don't think so. I think I was just being weird.
Oh, who said that? Who said Al?
It was me.
I swear someone was imitating me. I'm taking names, damn it. And where the hell is my watchdog?
I'm right here. That wasn't me. I'm trying to get to the next cue card.
Look at that. He's,
so
yeah,
right
it wasn't
now?
Him. Right away, it wasn't him.
Thinking yeah, so me. Right now we go to Moist TV. We talked about this, but... This is the thing I wanted to complain about. Fucking Damian Priest involving with the fucking Miz and Morrison. Why is he still involved with these fucks? Why? It's been fucking 6 months. It's been 6 months since WrestleMania. Why the fuck is Damian Priest even involved with these two schmucks still? And this is supposed to be a build-up between a match between him and Sheamus for SummerSlam. This makes no sense. And so we get another repeat match between fucking Miz and Damian Priest again, another fucking repeat match. Damian Priest wins, and then fucking Sheamus goes on the top of the announcer table, and that was the build-up for the fucking U.S. title match. What fucking build-up? The whole few weeks has been nothing but Damian Priest interacting with fucking Miz and Morrison for some reason, and hardly anything to do with fucking Sheamus. What kind of fucking build-up is this?
Well,
what build-up is this?
I'm gonna interject here a little bit. A little bit in defense to be the devil's advocate, I guess, or possibly, you know, the WWE fanboy. Who the fuck knows? You decide. 619-924-0815. But yeah, I'm gonna interject here a little bit, and you know, Damian Priest is, first of all, he's in a feud with Sheamus. So that throws it off that he's still over here doing this thing with the Miz and shit. I see it going as eventually he's going to be siding with him and Morrison are going to be a thing in the future.
God.
That's what I see down the line. When Morrison splits up with the Miz, you know, he's going to be the ally. They're going to be the allies and shit. And basically, you know, and I guess, you know, he'll put me down for Sheamus winning. I think that's exactly what's going to happen, but, you know, we'll get to that in the prediction. But, you know, yeah. And they're trying to give Damian Priest a little bit of light, a little bit of character development, a little bit of character development, if you will, some stage time.
Yeah, but not with the...
You know, and
yeah,
some
but
mic
not
time
with
and
not
shit.
With
they're trying to get him to get his feel. And I'm just wondering what the hell Dusty Rhodes would think about, you know, him getting his feel.
Well, Dusty Rhodes doesn't think much about it, baby. You know, Dusty Rhodes is much more invested in storylines over there on AEW television, baby. All my friends and family over there. Holla at me, AEW television, baby. Dusty Rhodes.
Woo! AEW, baby.
Dusty Rhodes out here supporting you, baby.
So I don't know nothing about Damian Priest, but I did like seeing Nia Jax out there shaking a honey on Monday Night Raw. That was very reminiscent of Dusty Rhodes and American Dream.
Nia Jax, baby.
So basically,
what Dusty Rhodes said is he doesn't give a fuck about it either.
Yeah, basically that's what it was. And by the way, we keep losing Albert, but go on. Well, you know, sometimes there's network problems, and I think he's experiencing a network problem, and you know, there's nothing he can do about it because it's his fucking network, and you know, it happens sometimes, and it fucking sucks.
So up next we have this whole stupid angle with fucking Alexa Bliss and her terrible gimmick and fucking Lily and Doudrop and Eva Marie. Fucking Doudrop is scared of the stupid doll. She goes and grabs the doll and then she looks at it and then she gives it back to Alexa. Fucking boring! Boring! This fucking gimmick is boring.
Wait a minute, bro. You can't fucking be saying boring. Because I already have that sound effect.
Boring.
You have to give me something different. You have to give me something different.
Sorry,
boring.
Yeah, all right. It's ludicrous. It's fucking ludicrous. It's horrible.
This
storyline is shit. This gimmick is shit. Fucking gimmick. It's not edgy no more. It's
I got to say, guys, going into SummerSlam, it's a travesty that I have to step away from this gimmick. I can no longer defend this gimmick as I did. I can't do it anymore.
It's dumb.
I mean, they had to fucking literally... And it's too bad that we don't have Albert here right now to confirm, because on TV, I made sure to have my shit set up to where I can hear the arena, okay? Because I have different settings on my sound and shit here at the house where I can get it, you know, sounding like either with the arena or without the arena or, you know, and different types of settings and shit. And I made damn sure I had it because I wanted to hear if the crowd was going to be chanting during her segment. And I'll be damned if the crowd was chanting, you could not hear it. So they had those microphones turned off. And those are those microphones that, by the way, you can see them. They're clear. And they're a big, long microphone, and it's inside of a clear thing. It looks like an umbrella. They look like an umbrella. I forget what they're called.
Yeah.
Big-ass microphones. And those are the ones that amplify the whole crowd and shit. And they obviously had those bad boys turned down. Because, you know, and they were playing some music in the background during that segment. And, you know, you couldn't hear the crowd and shit. And it was done backstage. So it was a highly protected promo. And, you know, I mean, they have to do that. They have to go that route because the crowd is hijacking the promos. Kevier?
I've seen that some. I don't remember exactly when that happened. But, yeah, I've seen definitely where the crowd's just saying what or, you know, WWE crowds are way different.
Last week they hijacked her promo with the We Want Wyatt and the following week.
Yeah.
And so this was their way of stopping it. I literally had my shit set up so that I could hear the background, the you know, because last week it was a big deal and shit.
Right.
And but no, it did not happen. So, Christian, let's get the predictions in, man.
Well, as far as
the Lily thing,
I'm not on board with the Lily thing anymore either. It was super stupid. The only thing that I took away from this was the fucking two slaps that Eva gave Dewdrop. Like,
I like
Eva slapped the piss out of
Dewdrop
afterwards.
She's kind of cute.
Eva slapped
man.
The piss out of her two times in a row, and it was the only time in the whole show that I marked out where I was like, oh my God, like, when she slapped her, I was like, surprised. And, so, I'm still not
I like
Eva
Lily
being
is not
here.
Even scary. She's kind of cute.
Yeah, Lily's dumb. Dewdrop's kind of dumb, too. We got to see what they do. But Dewdrop's one of the stupider characters on the show right now. Go ahead, Chris.
You know, they're probably going to tag her with the superhero and form something. I mean, who the fuck knows?
Yeah, but, so one last segment before we go to predictions for Raw. It was Goldberg and Bobby Lashley. Goldberg did an ego dip. Oldberg did an ego-driven promo that was not a babyface promo because he says, I came out of retirement for you, son. You thought it was okay looking at my old videos of how great I am. No, son, I'm going to use you as an ego. I'm going to use you to see me bury more young talent in this company for my own personal gain. That was pretty much the fucking promo. He wasn't being malevolent, all right?
Hey,
so Bobby Lashley comes
Gage.
Out.
Hey, Gage, remember when we used to sit around and watch that video of me kicking Bret Hart in his big, dumb fucking head? that's me, your pops, boy. Remember? I'm sorry. Goldberg hates.
Yeah. Fuck off. Yes, it's awful. Fuck Goldberg. Oh, yeah. Bobby Lashley comes up because, oh, yeah, he's the WWE champion. It's a three-hour show, and he hasn't shown up at all. What a great champion he's being booked. He shows up. He talks bullshit, and then he gets speared, a terrible spear, by the way, by Goldberg, and that's the end of the fucking go-home show. What a fucking disgrace. What a horrible go-home show for SummerSlam. All right, let's get to the predictions.
I hated Goldberg. And
I got the card pulled up,
his
too.
Son and shit. Get the fuck out of here. He's got his son out there now. He probably wants his son to be exactly like him and be a non-giving to the fucking non-giving back. He even had, I saw an article today. The quote was Goldberg, you know, and he's like saying, I feel like I haven't given back to enough to the business. Motherfucker, no, you haven't. All you've done is take from the fucking business. And frankly, it's too late for him to even give back. I don't even want to see him. But I'm not going to get all fucked up about it because I understand that they're going to use him. But goddamn it, if they fucking do his son the same fucking way and we have a Goldberg 2 with his son where he, oh, hell, I'm not about that shit.
No, I don't even think his son is interested. He looks disinterested. Don't worry about it. He looks so bored out of his fucking mind.
Yeah, he was trying to keep that smile on.
Well, I'm not worried about it, but, I mean, you know, I just don't like it. But anyway, let's continue.
Let's go to the predictions. Let's do the first match we're talking about right now, Goldberg versus Lashley.
Lashley,
100%,
put me down for Lashley.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to put all of us for Lashley because there's no way Goldberg is losing the title. I mean,
I don't
Lashley
know, man.
Loses the title.
We can't speak for Albert Inspected. I think Albert Inspected will go for Goldberg, though. He's a Goldberg mark. Something tells me, and I didn't get. I wish he was here. Damn it. Because something tells me the main reason that he went last night was, you know, because, you know, he's a Goldberg mark.
Do I put you for Lashley then, Minister? Do I put you for Lashley?
Oh, you definitely got to put me for Lashley. Hell yeah.
Okay, and Kev Lashley?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's finally giving back to the business. I mean, he has to. I mean, goddammit.
What about Albert? Do I just leave him blank?
Yeah, leave him blank.
Okay. All right.
If
so
he makes it back before 11, we'll get his predictions in, you know, and then you know we'll continue.
All right.
Up to where we're at, and then we'll continue.
Okay, so up next is the Usos versus the Mysterios. I'm not going to even bother. I think, you know, the Usos are going to retain.
Man.
What about you? What about you, Minister?
Man, I don't know. I mean, this could go totally, this could go totally different. The whole empire, or the whole head of the table, could just collapse. Hey, what if Cena wins?
But
why would the Usos need the title?
But they've been teasing Mysterios to break up.
Yeah, I don't see him. I don't see him giving him another title run.
I think Dominic's still too new to give him another title run. Yeah, that, you know what? Sorry about that, guys. That was just me wasting time. Fuck Dominic and his son, Uso.
No, and his son. Dominic and his son. Put me down for the Usos too, Christian.
I already did it.
Yeah.
That
all right, up next, up next is the United States Championship match between Damian Priest and Sheamus. I'm going to go with Priest because Sheamus' title run has been shit. Sheamus has done nothing with the fucking title. He's done absolutely nothing.
It has to be, I think it has to be Damian Priest, and that's stupid because I don't think Damian Priest deserves it. But, yeah, no, I think that he has to win. So, yes, put me down for Damian Priest.
All right.
You know, guys.
No, because we were just talking about it. Miz and Morrison are going to interfere, dude. They're going to cost him this match.
Well, they're not in the show. I think they're just going to do a segment. And then
they'll be there. Something's going to happen. They're going to squirt that motherfucker in the match with the water gun.
Oh, God, but I don't want another feud between Damian Priest and The Miz. All right, you want Sheamus?
I want Sheamus.
Okay.
I want Sheamus, too. Put me down for Sheamus.
Okay, I'm the only Damian Priest right for now.
Just a wild card guess on that one, but I think that The Miz and Morrison are still going to mess with him.
All right, so we got the Raw tag titles. We got Omos and AJ versus RK-Bro. I'm going to go with RK-Bro.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, again, I don't want to see fucking Omos wrestle again. He's shit in the tag team matches, so.
Yeah, hopefully he goes away.
Okay, so you, Cavier, you want RK-Bro?
Yeah, RK-Bro.
What about you, Minister?
RK-Bro.
Okay. RK-Bro. All right, next is the women's triple threat match for the Raw title. I'm going to say Charlotte Flair because Rhea Ripley ain't fucking getting it back. Her title ring was shit, and Nikki Cross has been terrible. I'm going to say Charlotte. What about you, Kevin?
I guess Charlotte. I don't think Nikki's going to keep it, and I don't want Rhea to. So I think they better give it to Charlotte, honestly, and push her hard and just let her be queen bitch for a while. So, yeah, Charlotte.
Or what about you, Minister?
I'm going to say this ends in a no contest.
It can't be a no contest. It's a triple threat match.
I'm going to say Nikki retains.
All right. You know why I really think Charlotte's going to win? You want to know why? Because I think Becky Lynch is going to show up after the match and attack Charlotte. SummerSlam.
I think Becky Lynch is going to show up during the match, and it's going to freak out Charlotte enough for the superhero to pull it off. and then she'll lose her title at the next night. And if that happens, I get another point.
Up next, what else is happening on the pay per view?
Give me another point, damn it.
We'll see.
Give me another point.
No, we'll see. Up next is the match that I'm really looking forward to the most. It's Seth Rollins versus Edge. I'm going to pick Edge.
Edge.
What about you, Seth?
Edge has to win. Put me for Edge.
What about you, Chuck?
Man, Edge has limited performances.
Edge doesn't have to win. Seth could beat him, and Edge could go away now. But Edge said he's staying longer than this.
Yeah, but with Seth Rollins, you know it's going to be a great match than Roman Reigns. It's not going to be a slow-paced fucking match. It's going to be a match of the night. So,
man, there's no way Edge can fucking win after he called Seth Rollins Edge-Lite. From now on, Seth Rollins will be Edge-Lite if that happens.
Well, but it is, he's already Edge-like. It doesn't matter. He was called Edge-like before, so it doesn't matter.
So you're saying that Seth Rollins is done and he's never ever going to be in the fucking title picture again?
He can't face Roman now. They're both heels. They can't suddenly just turn Seth Rollins babyface
now. Yeah, but they're going to have a draft in a couple of months.
Okay, so that means Seth loses and he gets drafted to Raw.
Yeah, Seth could lose.
Yeah. Seth really doesn't need the win here.
You got to put me down for Seth Rollins.
Okay. All right, up next, what else is there? What else is there in this? Oh, yeah, Drew versus Jinder. I'm going to pick Drew because, you know, his two lackeys are bad from ringside, so.
Yeah, I got to go with
pick
Drew, too.
It's going to be an awful match. All right, Kevin, who do you pick?
I want Jinder to win, but I'm going to pick Drew. I kind of just like, at this point, I just want Jinder to win and get a bigger push. All
right. Next
but
now
Drew wins.
Yeah, we all.
Man, wait a minute! Aren't they going to India soon?
I don't know. No, they're not going to India. They're going to Saudi Arabia.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. But Saudi Arabia soon. So will they be stopping in India?
I have no idea. I haven't heard anything.
All right.
So up next is the worst match of the night. Alexa Bliss versus Eva Marie. I'm just going to put it down right now. I'm just going to write us all with Alexa Bliss, all right?
Yeah, I'll say Alexa Bliss.
Not going to even bother.
Yeah.
Let's take a station ID right now.
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Welcome back, dudes. We're in the overrun now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. Let's finish this up.
This match is Alexa Bliss? Yeah, we all picked Alexa Bliss. Now, the next match is
But that's so predictable, man. That's so predictable.
I know, but the next match is questionable. Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair, ? Because in case everybody hasn't heard, then this match might not happen at SummerSlam at all because there's a rumor that they both might have COVID. So this match might not happen at SummerSlam this Saturday. So this is ?
Which one?
Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair.
Why?
Because there's rumor that they both might have COVID. And that's why they were pulled out of all the event shows. So.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet, but that would be wild if they did.
Oh, shit.
So this is ? So in case the match is still going, who do you say is going to win, Sasha Banks or Bianca? I'm going to pick Bianca.
I'm going to go with Bianca, too.
This is just speculation.
It would suck to see her lose her rematch against the same person she beat once. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So,
yeah, I'm going to go with Bianca Belair as well.
All right, but remember, it's ? Because this match might not happen at all because there's speculation that they might have COVID, both of them. It's unidentified circumstances right now. They were pulled out of the live event. So, there you go. We'll wait and see. And then the main event itself, we have Cena versus Roman. I'm going to pick Roman because there's no way they're going to have Cena beat Roman. I mean, if Edge couldn't beat fucking Roman kayfabe-wise, why the fuck should Cena beat fucking Roman? Makes no fucking sense. I'm right here.
Can you still hear us, Chuck? I can hear you, buddy.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
I'm going to go with Roman.
All right. What about you, Kev?
It's a
as
tough
much
one.
As I'd like to see Cena, I think Cena's wrapped up in some Hollywood shit where, you know, this isn't the time. And that's the funny thing about this business, guys, that it's all about timing. Because in reality, this is the perfect time to have fucking Cena go dark.
This is the perfect time if he's popular in the movies. It's the perfect time to put him put the belt on him again.
Yes.
I think.
And even change the title. The way The Rock
I'm
going
to pick Cena. Put me down for Cena, Christian. Roman needs to go down.
All right. You're going a little bold. All right. But just in case, let's see if we got all the SummerSlam card. I already put you, a minister, for Roman. And I put myself for Roman. Let's see, just in case, I got the complete card. Let's see. CBSSports.com.
CBS Sports.
Roman versus Triple Threat. Goldberg versus Lashley. Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks. ? Edge versus Rollins. Team Usos versus The Mysterios. Priest versus Sheamus. Let's see. That's it. Yeah. I pretty much got all of them. So here's extra credit questions, right? I'm going to do two. Will there be a cash-in? Will there be a cash-in on the pay-per-view?
It's SummerSlam. I'm going to say yeah.
All right, hold on. We'll write our names.
How many
All
cases
right,
are out right now? Only the one, right?
Yeah, there's only one.
I'm going to say yes, there will be a cash-in.
I'm going to say no. And the last
Wait. I'm going to say a failed cash-in.
Okay. Yes, but failed. Okay. And the last extra critic question is for the pre-show. What match do you think is going to happen on the pre-show?
Um,
I guess something with like Nia. We got some those chicks, so they're not in a match. Something with them, or I'm trying to think of what we could see.
Any feud.
Ooh, look at that poster. It's got Cena. I mean, it's got, I'm sorry, it's got Roman Reigns, champion, and then John Deere Cena, baby. Oh, outshining him, too. Like, Cena,
I guess
they're side by side, but Cena's a little bit in the forefront.
We might see the Intercontinental Championship rematch. We might see Nakamura. I guess that's going to be determined on Friday, right?
Yeah.
Would you say, Christian, which match is going to be the pre-show?
Yeah, which match do you think they're going to put in the pre-show?
I'm going to say it's a match that's not listed.
It could be any number of matches. I have to illustrate. It could be any number of matches.
I'm going to say it's a match that's not listed. Something like Cedric Alexander or some shit.
Yeah.
All right. Would you... You can name two matches or one, right? It could be any number because you know how long SummerSlam pre-shows are, so they could have
yeah,
like
it could
20
be. It'll be multiple
matches.
Ones, yeah. Yeah, I think we'll have Nia versus like Tamina or something like that. And
will there be a double cross on the show?
All right. Yes, I'll put that as another extra question. Hold on. Nia versus who? Kevin.
I'm just throwing it out there because I guess we can just book matches we've seen already. But yeah, Nia versus Tamina on the pre-show.
All right. For my answer, I'm going to put Mason T-Bar versus Mansoor and Ali. And, you know, what about you, Chuck? What do you think is going to be in the pre-show match?
I mean, that was my two. Nia and Tamina and then... What was the other one I said? Was we might see Elias on the pre-show, maybe. Maybe not. Probably see him Raw after SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Man,
I
can't even guess. I have no idea.
I put you under Nia versus Tamina.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
I'm going to say we're going to get New Day on the pre-show.
Day versus who?
I have no idea. Who are they fucking?
I guess New Day versus Miz and Morrison because they were fighting in the live event. They were in the segment on Raw.
Damn.
Yeah,
I guess so. Yeah,
all
so
right,
put me down
put
for that.
All right. And I'll do the double cross extra credit. I think there will be a double cross. I think there will be.
Pray
Ray on Dominic.
I say one. I have two double crosses.
Two?
Yeah.
Dios.
One for Miz and Morrison and one for the Mysterios.
Two double crosses. Oh.
Brutal.
What about you, Kev?
No.
Woohoo!
For either one, I think that they're going to keep Ms. Morrison together longer.
Okay, no turns? Okay. So what about you, Chuck?
I think there's going to be a heel turn.
How many?
I think there's going to be just one heel turn.
Okay,
and
one
I
turn.
Believe it's and I believe it's going to be I'm gonna say there's going to be the heel turn is going to be with the women. It's going to be Rhea Ripley.
She can't turn heel.
She
can't turn heel. She's in a triple threat match.
Why can't she turn heel?
How will you turn a heel on a triple threat?
It's
going to
be Alexa Bliss that turns heel then.
But Eva Marie's a heel.
Well, God damn it, Christian. Who the hell is it going to be then? Are you telling me it's going to be Dominic freaking Mysterio?
Because they've been teasing it for weeks now that fucking Ray and Dominic are going to have a fallout.
Put me down for Dominic Mysterio. All right,
I gave you one turn, yeah. So there you go. That's
the
whole prediction.
I just wanted to go down the line and make it dramatic.
There you go. I have the predictions right here in my hand. We have it right here.
So what about Edge Seth Rollins? How the hell does this shit end? Where does fucking Seth Rollins end after this shit?
Nothing. He just loses to Edge, and then he complains, and then he feuds with somebody else.
Roman loses to Cena. Seth loses to Edge. New tag team.
I think Seth is going to feud with Big E because he's going to feud for the briefcase. I think that's what's going to happen.
No. So many questions. Guys, I won the last one. That's right, I did. I fucking won. Mm-hmm. Who won? I won. I don't even remember how the fuck I did it, but I can guarantee you one thing right now. I will not win this one. This one is just so fucking, to me, I'm all over the place on this one. It's confusing.
It's predictable. It's a clusterfuck.
I don't know how it's predictable to you. I mean, like, to me, there's so many questions. And a lot of it has to do with CM Punk. I'm not sold that he's going to fucking AEW.
He is. He signed.
I am not sold on that shit.
He will.
I read an article of him last week saying that he was not interested in coming back to wrestling. Right now, his 100% focus was on acting.
Yeah, but he acted in a wrestling
show.
So.
And that he, at the time, you know, and just like he was when he was a wrestler, he was solely committed to being a wrestler and nothing else. That's how he is now. So
yeah, but I think...
Dude, this whole thing could be a fucking act.
No.
And that's why there haven't been any leaks. Because there's nothing to fucking leak. That's why Tony Khan can't fucking answer whether or not he's coming to AEW. And the whole thing
is
speculation.
But there is a leak. Fucking CM Punk's tweet of 05/11/11/2011.
Yeah, okay.
The leak.
It could be a leak either way. The two contracts he signed were with fucking WWE.
That was for Fox. That was for the backstage shit. He wasn't really contracted to WWE.
You know?
Y'all were saying like 2 weeks ago on the show that like it was official and that he had like signed.
We sure were.
I'm like Googling it. I'm Googling again now. I'm Googling again
now.
We
really
fucking
were, bro. We were marking out over this shit 2 weeks
ago.
And
I like Googled it and I was like, huh, Bleacher Report did say that they signed. Or Ringside News or somebody. I was like, yeah.
That boy,
but this
boy
still has, it's not even official.
That boy would be crazy. Yeah. Nobody knows a fucking thing.
But that's the best part. That's the best part. That's how you're going to mark out when he actually does show up.
I hope so. I don't want to fucking not mark out. I need to mark out either Friday or Sunday. But I need to mark out this
week.
I'll
mark out.
It's not.
The show's on Saturday.
It's not on Sunday. It's on Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh, hell. Yeah, I need to mark out either Friday or Saturday. But I need to fucking mark out this week.
It will happen. You will see CM Punk. If not, then AEW will get a ton of backlash and fucking garbage will be thrown around the arena and it will be fucked.
And quite possibly a Daniel fucking Bryan. Oh my god.
Yeah, but if that's how they did, if that's how they debuted Daniel Bryan, he's gonna get fucking booed out of the building.
Man, he is, bro. Fuck. There's so much fucking pending. Like, this week, it could be impending badassness or impending doom. But it's
fuck,
definitely
it's pretty,
a big
I think it's still
fight
gonna be mediocre.
Deal week. Christian?
What?
I mean, I'm sorry. Kevier?
I think it's still going to be mediocre. I don't think that we're going to get the results that would make it badass. I think that we're going to get mediocre results.
God damn it.
Well, we don't know the card for the show yet, so we don't know if it's going to be mediocre.
Oh, not I was just talking about SummerSlam.
Oh, yeah, fuck SummerSlam. I think it's going to be shit.
I've got, I'm a big football fan. And actually, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. And preseason is among us. And this weekend, Saturday night, actually, is the preseason game of the Dallas Cowboys and the Houston Texans. So I might go to the bar. And check out the game there at the bar. That way I can check out both games. I can check out... Well, no, I'm not... No, they won't have fucking SummerSlam at the bar.
Yeah. There's certain
they
ones.
Might.
There's a... Out here in Baytown, the Bruins, Baytown, they always show the pay-per-views and stuff on the... They have, like, a big screen. Not a big screen, but, like, a projector. Like
they
a,
might. You know what I'm going to
movie theater-type screen.
I'm going to ask him at this new bar I started going to called the First Tee. But yeah, I'm going to ask him. Fuck it. You guys going to have a pay-per-view too? I mean, if not, we can arrange it. I mean, I have the cock. I can give him my coat. You know, we can fucking set it up real quick.
They might ask you to leave if you say that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'll be down low about it. I'll definitely be down low about it. But, guys, I think that, what, does that wrap it up?
Think so, boy. I'll text y'all if
yeah.
Kanye album comes out. Christian, if Kanye drops his album, I'll call you.
Fuck Kanye.
Send y'all a link.
Stop it.
CM Punk.
How can you say that?
Punk country we're talking about. This is CM Punk country we're talking about. Anyway,
yeah.
I'm going to close myself out. My battery's about to die. So, thanks for listening into Fatal 4-Way Radio. I will be doing a Summer Scam review show on Saturday, August 21st. Be there, motherfuckers. Be there and watch the shit show because this is going to be a Summer Scam. I promise you this. Even if they bring fucking Becky Lynch back, this show is still going to be fucking dog shit. So good night, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, Christian. Kevier, close it out for us.
Shout out to Albert Inspected, too. Sorry that you had those problems, buddy, but definitely check out Pro Wrestling Planet, Instagram, Facebook stuff. You'll find us there. And shout out to Local Wrestling, of course. They got their next show, Reggie, coming up in September. Tickets are selling out. It's going to sell out the next couple of weeks. So get your tickets. I've yet to get mine. I'm going to get mine. I really want to go, even if I go to this one by myself, I'm probably going to go. So, but that all being said, like I said, I'll text y'all if the Kanye album drops. If it's bad, y'all don't tell me. I'll have to listen to it first, and I'll be the judge. At least I can still have that. Y'all may take the love of wrestling out of me, but you'll never take the love of Kanye.
Right on. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevier West! Guys, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, remember, next week, right here on Fatal 4-Way Radio, it is... Vincent Kennedy McMahon week, and tune in to find out why. So, yeah, do that next week. Also, check out Staunch TV on YouTube, and they got a big thing going on right now after this show, or it might be going on right now, actually. But no, go to Staunch TV on YouTube immediately following this show, and you'll find out what I'm talking about. So, yeah, do that, and we'll see you next time right here on Fed Forward Radio. I am Internet Radio Zone, reminding you to keep it real, keep it heel, and as always, keep it sexy, and we'll see you next time right here on Fatal 4-Way Radio.
This has been a presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.